Let's just ask God's favor. Father, we do ask that you'll give extra endurance and grace as these folks listen to an additional message. May it be just what they need. Help us all to grow thereby. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as you know, we're just days away from another election. You know, and I don't even have to tell you that. Enough already of the unsolicited phone calls, texts, piles of mailers on your table. I mean, we're all about fed up to right here, you know, and higher still. And that's the way we all feel. So you know that election is coming. Even if you're not voting, you've seen enough to know, man, all the advertising, you know that election is coming. But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're planning on participating in the election. You can know about it, but not necessarily be participating in it. That's what I want us to think about today. How important is it for a person to vote? Let me tell you about one church I read about this week. Now, this church believed it was against God's will to vote. But there was a local election coming up in which there was a rascal running and there was a good candidate. So they believed it was important enough to call for an all-night prayer meeting. So they gathered in, they closed the doors, and they prayed all night that God would let the good candidate win and the rascal would not get the votes. Well, the next morning, once the election, the vote happened, and wouldn't you know it, the good guy came up a few votes short. Incidentally, about the same number as were in the prayer meeting, praying about the vote, could have changed the outcome of that local election. Now, it seems tragic, but maybe those church members did the right thing. After all, isn't politics dirty business? Christians are citizens of heaven, not earth. Right? Every Christian really needs to sift through this in their minds. So let's consider it together. I bet all of you are on one side or another of the issue already. And you, if you had the chance to get up here, you'd put your foot down and tell everybody the way it ought to be. All right? But what I'd like for all of us to do is just really step back for a moment out of the debate and let's just look at what God's Word says about this. As a Christian, that's really my gut reaction to anything when it comes to my responsibility. What does the Bible say about it? But even there's a problem because the Bible gives no command regarding whether to vote or not to vote. It doesn't say that. There is mention of voting, incidentally, in Acts chapter 6, in verse number 4. They chose Stephen and Philip and Nicanor and some other men to serve as deacons. And the word there is elegomai, from which we get elect. So election is in the Bible, but it's for church offices. We're talking about politics. We're talking about government offices. But you know, there's been Christians on both sides of this debate. And if you go on and you Google, should Christians vote, you're going to get articles for and against it. This really is a debatable issue among Christians and what their responsibility ought to be. So I'm not so interested in knowing what the Google searches say, what the articles say. I really want to know, what does God say on a matter like this? Well, even though there's not a clear command in Scripture, the Lord does set out specific directives of responsibility that Christians do have to civil government. And what I'd like to do is review them for you and ask you whether or not they don't point, these duties, don't give us some clues about what we should do when it comes to voting. So, if you understand the duties, I think it begins to be a little bit more clear about what a Christian should do when it comes to this whole debate about voting. Since we're only a few days away, couldn't be a more appropriate subject. Number one, you must pray for your rulers. Let's go to a familiar text. It's 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Are you seeing the text is making a direct connection between your supplications, prayers, and intercessions with your ability to lead a quiet and peaceable life? If you want to lead a quiet life, a peaceable life, then it's essential that you pray for your leaders, for your rulers. And it isn't just about our peace, though, because do you see the next phrase? In all godliness and honesty. The peaceable life is connected with your ability to lead a godly life that's morally honest and upright. We don't want the government turning us corrupt. We want a government encouraging our good. And so if I want to protect my way of belief, my way of ways of faith, my walk of faith, that's what I have in our worship, and my ability to teach my kids in the ways of the Lord, then I ought to be really concerned about the rulers that I get, because I want to be able to pray that they will help me to lead a godly and honest, morally upright life in this world. So since this is so, since I'm supposed to pray so that I can have this kind of life in which I can maintain my faith, that really does seem to push us in the direction of being concerned about what rulers actually get in place and the ones that I end up praying for. So I'm highly motivated to vote in order to secure leaders who will secure my ability to practice my faith. We've all read enough history and know about enough countries around the world where some nations do make it difficult to practice faith. The churches are meeting underground. They have to secretly come together over hours of time so as not to arouse suspicions. So they'll meet in somebody's home or they meet out in the woods, and it really is possible for a government to make it difficult. So since this is true, that praying leads to peace, to practice my faith, I therefore ought to be, it seems to me, this is commensurate with voting to establish the right kind of leaders. Do I want to vote for leaders who most align with my values and the principles that please God? The answer is yes. Surely that would make it easier then for me to be able to lead a quiet and peaceable life. So I need to pray, and the very fact that I'm praying for leaders who will help me lead a godly kind of life suggests that I should be motivated to vote for good leaders and actively seek them. An online source, some of you, I've mentioned it before, some of you know about it, it's called gotquestions.org. It's actually called, the parent organization is Got Questions Ministries. They've asked, when citing their website, that we use their name. I've done so. Here's the quote. The leaders we elect do nothing to remove have great influence on our freedoms. They can choose to protect our First Amendment right to religious freedom and the right to spread the gospel, or they can restrict those rights. Your choice then to vote might be one of the most important choices you make. Number two, I'm moving quickly. The Bible also says you must pay your rulers. Not just pray for them, but pay them. Now, many passages give this. Here's one I'm picking. Romans chapter 13, verse 7. Render therefore to all their dues. It's talking about duties or taxes. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom. Fear to whom fear. Honor to whom honor. The scripture tells us we're supposed to do this for our rulers. Now, we all grimace at times, don't we, when we hear some new bill that's passed and some excess of spending that the government is going to make, probably in an area we don't care about. I mean, pork barrel spending and government waste. And have you heard about the PPP loans from 2020 and how much, they don't even know how much was stolen from that. Just distressing. So this is a matter of utmost importance then when we think about voting, and Christians are called to be good stewards of our wealth, of our money. And if I'm going to give part of my money away, willingly or involuntarily, that doesn't really factor into this, but if I'm giving part of my money away. I want people that are going to manage it just as wisely as I am managing my... I don't know about you, but I manage my money. I don't... And I want people that have that same kind of capacity and same kind of desire to be a good steward and not wasteful with finances. That suggests to me that I pick leaders that I feel comfortable directing where my tax dollars would go. So if you care about being a good steward, you should care about who gets elected, who decides how your tax dollars are being spent. So money, I think, provides another critical factor that would push a Christian in the direction, or at least commiserate with, falls in line with, a Christian going to the polling place and casting a vote. This really could be one of the most important choices you make as you live your life as a Christian in these United States. So you must pray for your rulers. You must pay your rulers. Third point, I'm through. I'm telling you, there's only three. I get hung up after three. I can't remember any more than that anyway. You must submit to your rulers. The Bible's clear about this. This is a command. We are supposed to do what our government tells us. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. The idea of submission has the idea of reverence or respect along with obedience. And the Bible says here that I'm supposed to do this has no mention of whether that's a good governor. Did you see good governor up there in that verse anywhere? You see that up there? It doesn't read that way in my Bible. How about a morally upright king? Does it say that right there? No, it's not in the text. So regardless of who I get, whether the person is elected that has morals that I disagree with or morals that I do agree with, either way, I'm supposed to render this kind of submission. That's clear Bible. It's clearly Bible I'm supposed to pray for my rulers. It's clearly Bible that I'm supposed to pay my rulers. It's clearly Bible I'm supposed to submit to my rulers. And because all these things are so, I'm thinking, why wouldn't I be interested in who I have to do these duties for? I should be concerned as a Christian about casting my vote. So since submission, therefore, is part of my duty to the Lord when it comes to government, I should care about which leaders I have to follow, have to listen to, and which ones I must obey. So I think that moves us all toward the voting booth. All right, I'm not going to belabor the subject, but there is a point of struggle right at this point. There we go. You know, because sometimes when we step inside the voting booth, we're sitting there and we almost want to take out a quarter and go, fling. Because we know enough about both of them not to care for either of them. If there's just two, sometimes there's three or four and you got to pick, you know, a handful from another handful. And don't you feel like there's no candidate on the ballot this time for that particular office that I care to vote for? And some people, well, they'll retort, you know, what are you supposed to do? Well, some people will say, well, just pick the lesser of two evils. But as this sign shows us, voting for the lesser evil is still doing what? Voting for evil. And so Christians do struggle. They have a point of struggle here. What do I do as a Christian? I mean, I want to be a good voter. I want to steward my vote in the right way, but man, I don't want to vote for either of these rascals or whatever it is. And I have been known at times to step back and just leave the bubble blank. Now, there might be a difference of opinion in this room about what you should do. And that, and it doesn't say that in the Bible. All right, I'm telling you why I vote or why I do it my way. But I do realize if I don't put something in the bubble or I don't push that particular screen, whichever one does get elected, I still have to do the submission thing. I still have to follow. I still have to obey. I still not just obey, but show reverence and respect for the office, because that's what God tells me I'm supposed to do. So I have to live with that. I have to weigh that out as you do. And there are times when there's a point of struggle. What a weighty responsibility. But I want to leave you with this thought. It's also a golden opportunity. Golden opportunity. You know, as I go into this election, you go into this election, you know, I want you to remember that few in history have had the opportunity you have. I mean, democracy as we know it, we have a Republican-style democracy here, but it's relatively new in human history. Most people have lived under totalitarian, despotic rulers, monarchs who had the last word on anything, up or down, whether you even lived or died. And thankfully, we have a little bit more say than we used to. So I think it's a golden opportunity that shouldn't be forfeited. And since the Bible, to review, says that I must pray and I must pay and I must submit to the rulers that are put over me, that really strongly suggests that I be involved in the voting process in some capacity. So, have you made the decision to make a choice and vote? Let me finish this way and tell you a little story. Nelson Mandela, most of you, if you're 20, no, you got to be about 30 to remember this name. All right. Nelson Mandela, he was known for his heroic efforts in South Africa for standing up to apartheid and leading eventually to the end of the apartheid, separating whites and blacks in South Africa. And whites ran the country while 80%, 90% of the population were black. And he brought an end to that and became president of South Africa. The generation that followed apartheid in South Africa was known as the Born Free generation, because everybody, regardless of race, could now vote in a presidential election. Are you with me so far? Let me get to the point. In that election, it would be May 7th, 2014, the Born Free generation had the chance to vote. But of that Born Free generation that had the chance to vote, at the time of the voting, only a third of those in that generation who could vote actually registered to vote. So they had a golden opportunity, but they failed in their responsibility. So I want to encourage you, as you think about what's coming up, maybe you're not prepared this time, but don't let it go on. Think of your Christian responsibilities, your biblical duties, and stand up and take responsibility, this weighty responsibility, on, and use your golden opportunity.